Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. And this is just a kickoff verse for Colossians chapter 3, but everything just kind of meshes together today. And it's very interesting as we look at this and listen to what's been said this morning and just put some things together. In verse 23, it says, let us hold fast the confession. And you have King James, not the New King James, but the regular King James. It talks about profession. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us hold fast our confession or our profession of faith, of hope, without wavering. I want to tell you something you may never thought of. God's not depressing. When you think about God, you don't go into depression. And what the word confession and profession means, it means to agree with, say the same thing. Now, there comes a time in our spiritual walk we have to understand that God has made us a new creature. The only one who really brings up the past is the devil. And as a people of Christ, we have to make a decision. Who am I going to agree with? Am I going to agree with God or am I going to agree with Satan? Well, you're not going to make it. God never did anything for you. You're going to die of this sickness. This is going on and on and on and on and on. Are we going to agree with that? Who said that? Who told us that? Or are we going to come to a place of saying, no, my God shall supply all my needs. My God is greater than some sickness. You know what's so easy to do as we are living and walking? It's so easy to take possession of what Satan gives us. It's so easy to take possession. Well, I have this. According to who? According to God? According to a doctor? And I go to doctors. I'm not putting doctors down. According to the enemy? Well, I'm going to die. Who told you that? There's only one who knows when you're going to die. That's God. Satan don't know when you're going to die. He just puts that thought in your head. And you take hold of it and you take ownership of it. And you know what happens? We die. Why? Because we take possession of something that's not from God. You may have some sickness in your body right now. Don't take ownership of it. Don't take ownership. Agree with the word of God. Come to a place in everything that happens in your life. Don't agree with the bad circumstances or bad situations or bad this or bad that. Agree with the word of God. My God shall supply all my need. How much of it?
All.
I can do what through Christ?
All.
Then why am I weak and say I can't do it? Yeah, Martha. We come to a place where we start hearing things so much. And it would have been easy for Donna to stay in the hospital. It would have been easy just to succumb to everything. But we have to agree with God. We come to a place of just identifying and speaking and saying what he says. Jerry, according to some doctors, shouldn't have been sitting here this morning. Why is he? Because he agreed with God. People prayed. God touched. Angie just got a good report. Praise God. God is sovereign. I understand that. But he's given us the right and the authority and the power of attorney to act in his name and begin to confess in his name the things that he has said he'll do. I believe God can make a drain off the Jorgensen's property. Run it over to the next farm. No, we don't want to run it. Run it to some other lake. Why not? How many of you drove through this town and saw gas at $4.14.9? Yeah, here. And you thought to yourself, what in the world is going on? And there was a little anger, and there was a little this and a little that. Whew. The other day, before I torched a gas station, oh, that could be on the radio. The other day, I drove down there, $3.94.9. You know, isn't it amazing we get happy with $3.95 gas because it dropped 20 cents. A year ago, it was $2.80. Confess the Word of God. Confess what God says. Confess who you are in Christ. Then go with me to Colossians chapter 3. This is what we were preaching on this morning. The other was just an appetizer. This ties together. Verse number 1. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Just for a few minutes today. If you believe that, you got more faith than I do. If then you are raised, what does that mean? The word raised in the Greek signifies a resurrection. And you may look at me and say, well, Pastor, I've never been dead. Yes, you have. The Bible says every one of us were dead in our trespasses and sins. And so what he's talking about, if God has given you spiritual resurrection, you are now alive in Christ. If you're not serving God and living for God, then the Bible says spiritually, you are still dead. But if you are alive in Christ, if you have been resurrected, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. I just want to point out what I'm talking to you about. Verse number 1 of chapter 2. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we were once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. But, here's the key, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By his grace you have been saved. The word trespass is a very interesting word. It means to violate a rule. It means to miss the mark. It means to cross the line. I've only met one person in my life who told me he'd never sinned, and he was in prison. Everyone realizes that sometime in our life we have sinned, we have trespassed, we've had this thing happen. But God says, Even though you were dead, I have now resurrected you. You now have life. And let me tell you something. Life in Christ brings to us a responsibility. Paul is saying, because you've been resurrected, I want you, or God wants you, to seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated in the heavens. Now let's look at this. How many of you have ever read Matthew 6:33? Anybody know what it says? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? Do sometimes we get the cart before the horse? You ever do that? Have you ever sought things? Have you ever sought health? Have you ever sought wealth? Have you ever sought jobs? Have you ever sought these things? And we become upset when they don't happen. The word seek is not just something I would Paul. Paul didn't say, well, I think, you know, there are times you should seek the Lord. The word seek is very interesting. How many have ever been to a track meet? How many have been watching somebody run? How many have ever been to motor cars or whatever races or whatever Bob's going to at 29th? Which one is that? Motocross. How many of you ever just saw everybody trying to get to the finish line? Huh? I watched, I think it was Daytona one year, and the guy ran out of gas from here to the wall from the finish line. He had all the cars pass him. The word seek, now listen to this. It means a constant straining forward to obtain. Constantly straining forward to obtain. It's not casual, is it? It's not, well, now I'm saved, I can do my own thing. There is something God puts inside of us. And it says, forgetting those things which are behind, I press on for the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ. I have a goal. I'm straining to be more like Jesus. I'm seeking after the kingdom of God. I'm seeking after what God has for me. I'm coming to a place where, God, I need more of you. I need to worship you more. I need to because I want to. Because I want to be more like you. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Let's come to something very important now. Hang on. It's very interesting. How many of us are controlled by our mind instead of our spirit? How many of us absolutely have a thought and that's true no matter what God says? How many of us still think that we're trying to earn our way to have favor with God? How many of us come to a place where we think, well, God really can't like me because I did this? God don't see you as doing that. Come on. How many of you ever forgot one thing that you spanked your kids for? When was the last time you spanked your kids?
Well, I'm telling you, tell social services.
So how many of you kind of think God just wants to spank you? God's not that. You know, God doesn't get up in the morning and look at the book of life and say, well, you know, they're in there, but. Doesn't do that. And so as we're seeking God, sometimes we come to the impression, God doesn't want me to talk to him. God doesn't want to talk to me. God is still angry with me. God thinks this of me. You know what God thinks of you? He thinks of you the same way he thinks of his son, Jesus Christ. Do you realize that? God looks at you and he sees his son. The things from the past that God remembers is his son hanging on the cross. In my devotions this morning, as I was kneeling here and praying and reading the word, I was at Luke 23 and 24 and coming to a place where I went through that whole crucifixion process and the resurrection. And I just had to stop and I had to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amazing what he went through. So you think God would put his son through something that wasn't going to help you? Do we think God would have Jesus go through all that stuff on the cross so that he could still look at us and say, no, I don't really want you? Doesn't do that. And we miss so much because we refuse to understand that he loves us, he accepts us, he has no anger against us, and what he wants for you is your best. And because for some reason people don't believe that, they're very casual in their relationship with God, and they're just happy that they're going to heaven instead of going to heaven right now. Why don't we bring heaven to earth? Missed a good time to say amen. There's a possibility of walking and living in the Spirit that's beyond our imagination. He can do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think according to the power that works within us. And we stand back and we're ready to just eat the scraps off the table, spiritually speaking, because we don't know. We're not sure. Do you think you're still in trouble with God? Good. Not. And so why not just open up and receive everything he has for us? It's not a time to give up. It's not a time to be run by the physical. My physical body, my emotions, and let's put this one in there too. The financial things that are happening in America doesn't have to infect you. God brought us here to this point in our lives. How many of you think now he's just going to let everything collapse around you? Somebody said, and I use it every once in a while, if you're worried about finances, read your money. What does it say? In who we trust? Doesn't say anything about Mr. Obama. Doesn't say anything about the Congress. Doesn't say anything about our Governor Dugard. Doesn't say about social services. It doesn't say about welfare. It doesn't say about food stamps. It doesn't say about all the things. It says in God. Period. How in the world did Abraham get wealthy? How did Joseph get out of prison to be second in command? How did Job get everything and then get it back again? Hello? You know what happens? We get distracted. That's part of the process of being human that we have to learn to live without, is focusing our attention on everything that's falling apart and running down instead of focusing on him. It's another chance to say amen. Not for me, but to God. How many of you ever heard of Jairus? How many of you ever heard of Jairus? You might pronounce his name different. To me, I met him this way. How do you pronounce it?
Sure.
Anyway, he came to Jesus. Luke chapter 8, I believe it is. Read it when you get home. I was thinking about this yesterday as I was just working on this. He comes to Jesus and his daughter is dying. How many remember the story now? You may have never thought about it this way, and if you don't like it, that's okay because it blessed me. He comes to Jesus. He's taking Jesus home to his daughter who is dying. You ever been in a hurry to do something? And all of a sudden, some woman interrupts. I have patience, a lot of patience for other people, but with me, it's got to be now. So if I would have saw her creeping up there, I'd probably say, hey, stay away, my daughter's dying. And all of a sudden, in that hurry, someone reaches out and touches Jesus, and he stops in his tracks. Come on, Jesus, my daughter's dying. We got to hurry. No, he stops. And in that mob, he stops and he asks, some people thought, the disciple thought it was a crazy question. Who touched me? And Peter looked at him and said, are you nuts? You got Peter, all people all around you. And you're looking for someone. He said, somebody touched me because I felt power leave my body. I felt virtue. So Jairus is there. See, I pronounce it different if you don't like my first one. He's there. And he's looking at this. Master, we got to hurry. And Jesus is talking to this lady. Go in peace. Thy faith has made thee well. She leaves healed. His daughter's still dying. Distraction. They go on the way and somebody comes from his house and say, don't trouble the master. It's too late. Remember Martha and Mary? If you'd been here, what would have happened? What would not have happened? My brother wouldn't have died. So if you're this gentleman taking him to his daughter's house to heal her, and all of a sudden she's dead, you kind of think, if that woman wouldn't interrupt it, there'd have been no crowd. We'd have got here on time. But Jesus said, don't worry. It'll be taken care of. Would you have said, yeah, that's easy for you to say? So they continue on. And they get to the place and Jesus said, don't, she's not dead, she's sleeping. And what did the people do? They laughed at him. They enter the room. After these distractions, and Jesus raises her. If you can live your life without being distracted by your surroundings, without being distracted by what people say, if you can keep your eyes and straining focused on Christ and your mind focused on your spirit, and God working within you, it is absolutely amazing what you will live through. Amen. And walking in victory. You know what happened? We get a little close. We get a little close to thinking, God, you did it for somebody else. When are you going to do it for me? We get a little close in thinking, well, that person must be better than me, or that person must have a better ministry, or that person must have a bigger mission, or that person must have something else, that God is so important, they're so important to the kingdom of God, that he has to heal them, or he did heal them. No, he just did according to his word. Whenever, things are looking good, or things are looking not so good, take the word of God and agree with it. Don't go by your emotions. Come to a place where you confess the word of God so much, and you're in agreement with God so much, your mind changes. And that's what he says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Don't think like everybody else is thinking, thinking like God thinking. Come to a place where you accept what God has said, because it's so easy, and I understand if you've been fighting a sickness for a long time, it's so easy to throw up your hands and say, it'd be easier to be dead, would it? Or you start going through depression. And you give up. Therefore, do not be weary in well-doing, because you're going to reap if you don't faint, if you don't give up. Look at me. No matter what this life looks like, if you're a child of God, we win. You can't lose. In the eyes of God, you've never been a loser. You've always been a victor. Even though you say, boy, I feel down and I feel bad, you can't live by that. We agree with the Word of God. And we not only agree with it, we speak it out. Important we understand that. So important. Whether it's financially, emotionally, physically, whatever it might be, we agree with God. We agree with Him. And we come to a place where we stand and we accept what He has said. There's a last at least three or four times. And sometimes we're like the disciples. There were at least three or four times, I'm reading in the Gospels in my devotion, three or four times almost in most of the books, where Jesus looked at them and said, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer, and I'm going to die. And on the third day, I'm going to be resurrected. But what happened when He arose? How many believed it? I read it this morning on the road to Emmaus. They were remembering that He said on the third day, and they looked at Jesus, and they were talking to Him, and they said, but He told us on the third day He's going to rise. And we don't know. Somebody may have took a body. Read between the lines a little bit. Look at me now. John 14:12. He who believes on me will do greater works than these, because I go to my Father. He who believes on me, greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. How many of those are just empty words? If you've read that verse, heard that verse, dissected that verse, looked into that verse, then we need to come to a place where we say, that's me. That's me. How many have ever read, these signs shall follow those who believe? Anybody know where that is? Mark 16. I'm glad I have a scholar here to keep me straight. Greater works than these shall I do, because I go to my Father. These signs will follow them that believe. How many have been waiting for an amazing evangelist to come to town so you could have a healing service? There are some great men with gifts of healing. Praise God for them. And women. But how about you? Where does it say... And Christian Outreach Center will chase signs, hoping in the future they'll catch them. It doesn't say that. Signs are following you. But do we apply that? Do we look at it? Or does somebody tell us, well, that was just for the disciples? Maybe it's just for the epistles. You know what an epistle is? It's the wife of the apostle. Joking. I didn't have you hear you have any. And so we walk through life with our minds instead of our souls, our spirits. And we walk it out. And God is saying, seek me. Do you know something? The closer you get to him, the more you understand his word is true. He's doing what he said he would do. And he'll do in your life what he's promised you through his word. I was thinking, and I'm done. I get in trouble with I think, so I don't use my brain too much. I'm saving it for when I'm older. A lot of stuff on Facebook about hell. I was looking at somebody's statement the other day. I just thought to myself and finally got enough courage to put it on there. If we are changing what Jesus taught, we're not believing what Jesus said. Jesus explained it so well, there should be no second thoughts. How many agree with that? Okay, how many agree that Jesus explained the Christian's life so well, we shouldn't be second-guessing what he said about us? We should just be walking it out, led by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. I was talking to Jerry the other day. We went down to Huron, and I was talking before that as we were sitting here. I just said, it's my goal. It's my passion to simply be more of a life in the Spirit. How many have ever lived the carnal life? There's nothing there. The carnal life is all about me. The spiritual life is all about him. And friends, I'm going to guarantee you something. If you'll take every morning, get up 20 minutes early and pray in the Spirit, allow the Holy Spirit to saturate your life will change. You say, but I can't do that. You will when you start doing it. You say, what do you mean? When God sees that you're hungry, you'll be filled. Fact is, people will think you're nuts at times. But that's okay, because they already know I am. We step it out. We walk it out. Do you think there's not more? There's a life beyond the Spirit. Above where baptism in the Holy Spirit to level after level after level after level of spiritual growth. Where God not only becomes part of our life, but he is our life. And we walk this life out in his glory. I don't care if you're shopping, you're fishing, you're in Walmart. Wherever you are, God is ready to do something through you. It's not only wherever you go, you are. That'll settle in a little bit. But it's when you get there, God has something for you to do that's beyond what you could even imagine. I never knew I was going to run into Barb. I just knew there was some reason that we got towed into Wahpeton. It's not a bad place to be towed to if you're going to get towed somewhere. But God had a divine appointment. And I want you to tell something. Don't walk through divine appointments. Let your spirit be bubbly with the Holy Spirit and you're looking for opportunity to minister to Christ. God may have divine appointments for you this afternoon. Ray and I are going to be up in Bemidji tonight. There's divine appointments up there. A guy needs his shoulder healed and he's desperate. Who's coming to you who's desperate? They just may need Jesus. They may need healing. They may need someone to break depression. Anybody ever meet anybody depressed in these days? You can say, well, God can choose somebody to do that. He did. He chose you. Amen?